ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय तव अवतारः अयम् अध्योक्षज इह भूवः भारानाम् उरुभार जन्मनाम् चामुपतितनाम् अभवाय देव भवाय युष्मात् चरण अनुवर्तिनाम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भुवो भराणाम् उरुभारजन्मनाम् चामुपतितनाम् अभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्णितम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भुवो भराणामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चामुपतितनामभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भुवो भराणामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चमुपतितनाम् अभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भराणामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चमूपतीनामभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भुवो भराणामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चमूपतीनामभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह उरुभवानामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चमूपतीनामभवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् लेडीस् तवावतारोऽयम् अधोक्षजेह भुवो भराणामुरुभारजन्मनाम् चमूपतीनाम् भवाय देव भवाय युष्माचरणानुवर्तिनाम् तव your avatarah descent I am this adokshaja O transcendental lord iha in this world bhuvah of the earth bharanam who constitute a great burden urubhara too many disturbances janmanam who have given rise chamupatinam of military leaders abhavaya for the destruction deva or supreme personality of godhead bhavaya for the auspicious benefit yushmat your charana lotus feet anuvarti naam of those who serve translation proposed by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada you descend into this world O transcendental lord to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances O lord you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet purport this verse utilizes an attractive poetic device lord krishna's descent into the world is said to be for the abhava literally non existence or destruction of the demoniac warlords and simultaneously for the bhava or existence prosperity of those who serve faithfully the lord's lotus feet true existence indicated here by the word bhava is sachit ananda eternal and full of bliss and knowledge to an uninformed observer it may appear that Sri Krishna is simply rewarding his followers and punishing his enemies the way an ordinary person might do this specific doubt about the lord is raised extensively in the 6th canto in connection with krishna's taking the side of the faithful demigods against the faithless demons in a particular cosmic war in that canto the vaishnava authorities clearly explain that in fact lord krishna is the father and the lord of all living beings and that all his activities are therefore meant for the benefit of all existence lord krishna does not really cause the non existence of anyone rather he curbs the foolish destructive material ways of those who defy the laws of god these laws are created to ensure the prosperity harmony and happiness of the entire creation and their violation is an unjustifiable disturbance certainly Indra hoped that Lord Krishna would count him among the devotees and not the demons although considering Indra's actions one might doubt where his loyalties actually lay Indra was aware of this possible doubt and thus as we find in the next verse he tried his best to surrender to the supreme lord
ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरु श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्री गुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्री रूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितां तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्री राधा कृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಾಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
ಯು ಡಿಸೆಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಓ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ ದ ವಾರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹೂ ಬರ್ಡನ್ ದಿ ಅರ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಮೆನಿ ಟೆರಬಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬೆನ್ಸಸ್. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Hare Krishna. We are being blessed for the last few days to be able to hear the exact words emanating from the mouth of Lord Indra in his attempts to rectify the serious offense he has committed at the lotus feet of the Lord and his dearmost devotees of Braj. And we can feel, we can perceive, we can understand the heaviness of Indra's emotions. We can feel how desperate he is looking forward for being forgiven. His prayers are emanating with this exclusive desire. Yes, they are glorifying the Lord. Even today, we are glorifying the Lord. He is glorifying the Lord. But deep down, the Lord can understand, and we can also understand, that the glorification is emanating with a deep desire to seek what he really badly needs at this point of time, and that is forgiveness. Of course, we can only be too sure that Krishna will definitely forgive. That confidence we can always have. We do not have confidence in ourselves as to how we will react in various situations, how we may also end up being offenders like Indra. But one thing we can be sure, that if we do land up making a mistake, a serious mistake for that of the caliber of Indra's, you know, a serious harm to the devotees or the community of devotees, then we can be sure that if we have a repentful heart, we will be forgiven. And that gives us a lot of hope, no? It doesn't give us license to offend, but it definitely gives us hope that we will be forgiven. And that confidence is important for a sadhaka, because a sadhaka by nature, as Prabhupada has said, is a toddler. And is a most devotees may feel about themselves that they are toddling towards Krishna. And a toddler is typically a person who is just learning to walk and is falling. That is a toddler. He has not developed his brain substance to the extent the cerebellum is the one which controls the walk, the gait, the coordination of the legs. But the cerebellum not being developed, it is still, you're toddling. An underdeveloped brain leads to fall. But the fall is not the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is the ability to walk. And you keep on moving to that, towards that higher reality of your life, that you want to walk. we can definitely meditate for a few moments on this very amazing quality of Krishna to forgive. What is Krishna's capacity to forgive? He has an unlimited capacity to forgive. Whatever Krishna has is unlimited. Whatever we have is always limited. Because we are limited and Krishna is Ananta, unlimited. So, in his heart, he has unlimited ability to forgive. Why? Where does this ability to forgive come from? Who has that? Who is that wealthy person who has the wealth of being able to forgive? It comes very easily to a person who has love. How many times a mother forgives her child? How many times you and I as children have been forgiven by our mothers? Let's put it like that. Right from the time we were in the wombs of our mothers, we were kicking her. When the child becomes about 5 months, 6 months old, the embryo, you start kicking, you start feeling movements. And at 7, 8 months, you feel strong kicking sometimes. How does that feel to someone kicking from you from within? And then you come out also, you keep kicking. Children kick, they scream, they pull mother's hair, they bite her, they abuse her, they slap her. you have seen children, right? What they do to the mothers? They beat them, they yell at them, they disobey them. They do so many things to the mother. But the mother's response is always standard. Always the same. She just keeps on forgiving. She doesn't have to really consider that element of forgiveness. It's not even consideration. You see? It's not a planned seminar which she has received, a parenting seminar from some senior mothers that, well, you know, your child will do this to you, you see. But, you know, you should forgive because ultimately, you know, mother is meant for that. She doesn't have to even just learn, get a seminar for that. It is just the way she is. She's born like that. It is an intrinsic constitutional nature of a mother to forgive anything and everything and repeatedly, endlessly, what a child will do to her. Now put that mother, mother which we're talking about, we all have mothers, our biological mother, and multiply that factor of love which she had for you and me by a factor of 1 quadrillion. And that is Krishna. That is Mother Yashoda. That is Srimati Radharani. Right? So how much is the ability of Krishna to forgive? Unlimited. Why? Because he unlimitedly loves us. He just unlimitedly loves us. And that is our greatest asset in life. Krishna's love for us. Even though we don't have any love for him whatsoever. In fact, we are offenders, aparadis. For millions of lifetimes we are aparadis. How much we have broken God's laws. How much we have gone against him, deviant manner. But Krishna's love is the eternal asset of the wandering soul. And the proof of his love are so many. But the most obvious proof is that he never leaves us. Generally, when somebody offends you, you want to leave that person's company. Isn't that the first response? You don't want to see him. If somebody keeps offending you, insulting you, you know, abusing you, chastising you, insulting you, what is the first response? keep that person away from you. I don't want to see that person. Isn't it the most natural thing to do? But when he sees me, he will offend me and I'll get hurt and I'll respond in a particular way. So stay away. If you see that person, you'll go on the other lane as if you've not seen him. And if you see him, start looking elsewhere as if he doesn't exist. Right? That is our natural response, conditioned response. But when you consider how much offenses we have committed as aberrant souls at the feet of Sri Krishna, then he should definitely leave us for always. But he never leaves us. He is always within our heart. And he is in fact the closest person to us. That is God's love. That is Krishna's love. That's why we call him as Karuna Sindhu every day. Right? In Krishna consciousness, it is a process of growth. Krishna consciousness is a process of evolution. Krishna consciousness is a process of learning. We are not here to become gods, as some faiths, some traits, some upper sampradayas and like that may try to teach. But certainly we are here to become godly. Definitely, we are here to become godly. That means that we want to develop those traits which God has in ourselves. That's the meaning of becoming godly. Right? That means you don't become God, but at least you want to exhibit those traits which He has to whatever infinitesimal amount we can manifest. That's all right. That's our inherent limited nature, but we want to at least develop them. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is a process of cultivation. Cultivation is never automatic. A farmer deliberately puts some seeds, deliberately plows the land, deliberately nurtures it, deliberately cuts the weeds, deliberately puts the pesticides, deliberately does the fencing, and he cultivates the fruit or flower he is growing in his orchard. So also we are trying to cultivate this fruit of love for Krishna. Therefore it has to be a specifically learned, cultivated process. It has to be a process. A deliberate, conscious process. That means that it is not an automatic thing. That means that to hope that just by chanting Hare Krishna alone, without being conscious of the internal growth of the soul, would make the growth very slow, or rather incomplete. The word anushilanam has been consciously used by Rupa Goswami in his definition of bhakti. It is a process of cultivation. As we become a little older in Krishna consciousness, I find, certainly, the desperate need to learn things in Krishna consciousness. It's one thing to learn. We are taught various things, let's put it like that. We are taught to make garlands. The moment you get into that department, they'll teach you how to make a nice garland. It's a skill to learn for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. The moment you enter into deity worship department, they'll teach you how to make the Lord wear clothes, how to especially put his turban, how to put the flowers on the turban. They will teach you that. It's a skill to be learned. Kirtan is a skill to be learned, how to perform good kirtan. In Mayapur there is an institute where they actually started to teach the whole world, those who want to learn the science of kirtan. But probably the most difficult skill to learn, in my mind, is the skill or the ability to forgive. It is the most difficult thing to learn in our life. It's easy to learn how to do kirtan, easy to learn shlokas, easy to make garlands, easy to make the Lord's turban. But just consider, as sadhakas, how much we had trouble in our own hearts learning the need to actually be able to forgive. As I said before, if we have to go back to Godhead, then we will not go there as gods, but we will have to at least develop our godly nature. So if Krishna is going to manifest unlimited forgiveness, in this case to Indra, we will at least will have to develop that quality ourselves, because ultimately spiritual life is about qualitative existence. That means you have to become one with the spiritual world in quality. That every resident of the spiritual world, whether a grass or a peacock or a tree or a, you know, whatever, is qualitatively one. That they all have developed their complete godly nature. Their pure spiritual nature has been fully developed. Only in that fully developed state, just like embryo comes out, only when it is in fully developed state in 9 months and 9 days, till that time it is supposed to stay inside. It is not supposed to come out. It may come out, but it is not supposed to. Only when it fully develops all its organs to the fullest, then the soul, then the body has the right to live in this world properly. Similarly, we will not be able to enter into the spiritual world till we fully develop all our spiritual faculties to the fullest. Right? So we are also going to be expected to develop this faculty of forgiveness. So the question can be asked, but why should we develop this? Is there any other need to do that? Okay, apart from the ultimate reality of going back to God, is there any other need for me? Why should I should develop this faculty of learning forgiveness? There are more than one. And the most important reason here is we need to very urgently learn this art of forgiving, because there's a great need for us to be forgiven also. And the law of spiritual life is, it's a law. It's not a detail, it's a law. The law is, you will only be forgiven when you forgive. If you don't forgive, the people who have hurt you, the people who offended you, abused you, insulted you, your near and dear ones, your family members, your friends, your neighbors, your fellow devotees, God brothers and God sisters, whosoever, if we have not developed the art and the ability to forgive them, then be sure we will also never be forgiven for what wrongs we have done. And how many wrongs we have done? A large amount of wrongs. So Krishna is eager to forgive us. But as it says, conditions apply. The conditions apply is that you have to forgive. Right? And therefore, it is a Vaishnava trait. Huh? When our Vaishnava Acharya's Bhagavatam talks about Titiksha Karunika Sruta Sarvadehinam, that when that first quality is given as Titiksha, that tolerance is not about tolerating heat and cold. To a certain extent, maybe small. Intolerant heat in Vrindavan, the cold of Delhi, or the cold of Iceland, maybe. But that's not a Vaishnava trait to be able to tolerate. Even the bears can do that. Even a bear can also tolerate, the polar bear can tolerate all the cold of the Antarctica. So it's not a Vaishnava trait at all to be tolerant of the heat and cold. When we are told Titiksha as a first requirement of a Vaishnava personality, it's about tolerating other people's misbehavior towards us. And tolerance in Vaishnava parlance almost always is synonymously used with forgiveness. It is not that Haridas Thakur was tolerating those fellows who are beating him. It's not about he is being tough. Of course, Haridas Thakur was a tough man, remember that. The Goswamis are very thin people, they hardly ate anything. But the Haridas Thakur was a tough man, physically also. You never see Haridas Thakur being lean and thin, tough. But that was not the reason why he was able to, you know, handle all those whips and lashes and chains and the kicks of his offenders. That was not the reason why he was considered tolerating. He was immediately, even before the whip was offered, he was forgiving. So when we say Thidiksha, and of which Haridas Thakur is the gold standard, you know, there are devotees in Mahaprabhu's life which are gold standards, humility gold standard, Thakur Harida, Sanatana Goswami, tolerance gold standard, highest possible, Thakur Haridas, renunciation highest, Vairagya, Das Goswami. Right? So Haridas Thakur is the emblem of tolerance. It is because of his unlimited ability to forgive people who are trying to kill him. Another important reason for wanting to develop the skill of the need, the art, the science of forgiving is that when we don't forgive people who offend us, it creates a huge amount of mental disturbance. You agree? Right? You just try and see, if you have been hurt by somebody, it captures the mind and becomes a predominant emotional input of your mental existence. It sort of encapsulates all your life to such a large extent that it prevents you from being functional practically sometimes. You just can't do your normal routine because that sort of almost haunts you. Why did he say that? Why did she do that? Why did he behave like this? Blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on inside our consciousness. Like a pinprick, like a thorn in our heels, which the moment you walk, it reminds you that pin is there. It doesn't make, you cannot even normally walk. So you become affected. And that disturbs mental peace by stealing away the most important need for spiritual existence, that is spiritual mental balance. You can only practice spiritual life properly in a state of mental balance. If in a state of imbalance, emotionally, psychologically, then you will have an imbalanced output in spiritual life. And therefore our chanting becomes imbalanced. Because chanting is being interrupted by all that, by those wrong signals which are coming from inside. Right? You had a serious problem with your wife. You had a big fight with your wife. Or Brahmachari had a serious problem with his fellow Brahmachari. You try and chant Hare Krishna immediately at that time. It's not so easy. You can get haunted by that. Disturbs. Right? So, it is important to forgive because we want to again go back to our state of harmony with our own selves. Because only a harmonious existence within can lead to a proper output outside. Right? So, to forgive is not for the other person's benefit. It's for whose benefit? It's for my benefit. Because if I don't forgive, I have a distorted spiritual existence. Of course, it affects health. I must remind you. Resentful feelings affect health. It's a negative emotion. There are books written on this, how resentment is traced back deep down as a cause of cancer. we may say, oh, the tobacco, or we may say, okay, we may say the pesticides and the food, and they are. But the trigger is not the tobacco. The trigger is oftentimes not the pesticide in the food which we eat every day. The trigger in your genes may be a deeply resentful feeling for somebody else. And that puts the trigger in the genes in the wrong direction, and then all the tobacco and all the stuff starts affecting you. The environment affects you, and you know whatever else you are doing, you know, alcohol and this and that, everything starts affecting you because the actual trigger at the nuclear level could be a deep emotional insult which you have felt from some other person. So they have traced back. See, science has advanced a lot. Let's not, as devotees, let's not minimize the role of science. We cannot, we should not. It would be very preposterous to do that. using all the scientific tools ourselves and then saying, oh, science is, you know, we must recognize the value of science. And science can now trace back the cancerous root to an emotional aberration in the mind. Anyway, so there are a lot of health repercussions of being affected by, if you don't forgive, your blood pressure, your immunity, your cancer, everything, so many things like that. So it's important to forgive. It's very important to forgive. Usually it is the one which is, who are the closest to us, who hurt us the most. Is it not? You find it most difficult to forgive because the one who are closest will do the most harm to you. Maharaj always says that. The more you are close, the more you love somebody, the more you trust somebody, when that person does something, it is like very difficult to forgive. But we have to gradually cultivate this this particular art. And that is, for a Vaishnava, the perfect use of his independence. Now we say God has independent, and we also have minute independence. So we, it's not about should I drink water or not right now. I have a choice. It's not about these flimsy control of our thirst. Am I drink, am I not drink water? It's not about that. It's about how we respond to situations is actually our real independence. Now if you look at it very straight in the face, what is a Vaishnava, what is not a Vaishnava? Now we understand by now, I'm sure, that it is way beyond just our dress. It's way beyond just our spiritual practices. It's way beyond just the faith we profess or the religion you belong to. It's way beyond all that. Right? Basically, a devotee and non-devotee is about responses to situations. Right? It's just the way you respond. Now here, Indra has responded in a very, very arrogant manner. So even though he's a devotee, no doubt, but he's been afflicted by demonic nature. He has given a wrong response to someone which is sort of apparently seen as stealing away his sacrifice. He's going to Vaishnava response. Like, you know, in sometimes on the lighter side, they say, okay, and then various ways of saying something. Your wife prepares food and there is no salt in the food. So, what are the conditions we are responding to that? तुमको बनाने को खाना आने बनाने को सिखाया नहीं तुमने माने तुम्हारे को मदर डिड नॉट टीच यू द स्किल ऑफ यू नो कुकिंग फूड सो मेनी टाइम्स यू फॉरगेट सॉल्ट वेयर इज योर माइंड व्हाट आर यू डूइंग यू नॉट फोकसिंग यू नो प्राइम ड्यूटी इज टू यू नो व्हाट आर यू हैव सो मेनी थिंग्स यू गेट एंग्री बिकॉज ऑफ द टेस्टलेस फूड सॉल्टलेस फूड इज यूजली वेरी टेस्टलेस फूड राइट वी पुट ऑल द कॉन्डिमेंट्स इनसाइड वी डोंट पुट सॉल्ट इट डजंट टेस्ट एज गुड एट ऑल सो यू मे रिस्पॉन्ड विद एंगर. And somebody may say, oh, the food is so wonderful today. When you made the offering, Krishna stole the salt away from it. That's how I know why the salt isn't in the food. Krishna just took away the salt and left behind his remnants saltless. Such a nice way of saying it, no? It's saying the same thing, but on a lighter side, on a jovial side. Husband and wife can always joke. They can fight and they can joke also. So it can be a nice joke on the husband. Message is given. Ultimately, communication has been made. Aaj khane mein salt nahi hai. How you say it is up to you. You can say it with fist and fury. You can say it with a lot of love. Right? So it's all about responding. Environments. We can respond to the environment when it's hot with kya garmi hai yaar sha. You respond with you can respond like that, right? So, oh, how wonderful we are getting the sun here. People in London are hankering for the sun there. When the sun comes in London, people go out with bare minimum clothes and sit in the garden and bask in it for 8 hours or so. Right? Today there's so much of sun. We are blessed. India is so wonderful. A lot of sun here. And sun is good because vitamin D is there. Vitamin D is very nice for the health. Vitamin D gives so much of benefit. You look at it like that. So it's all about responding. It's all about the way we respond. So, in everything you will see, you can just judge your life and see. Everything about Krishna consciousness is only about responses. There can be only two of them. There are no three choices. Like a conditioned response or a Vaishnava response. So somebody offends you, your immediate response is like the usual. Dekh leta hun tere ko. Revenge, avenge. I will get back to you on this. At the right time. Just wait for the right time. I will give you tit for tat. I will take the law of karma in my hand and give the reaction you need. Right? This conditioned response. We get angry and hit back by words or by fist. Right? The Vaishnava response would be, we forgive. Why? Now, when you say forgive, let us not misunderstand that as condoning a person's acts as right. Somebody, you know, really punches you on your face for no rhyme or reason. When you forgive the person, doesn't mean that you said, oh yeah, you know, I deserve that. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that that act is justified. Because that may make forgiveness even more difficult. If you start to believe that, oh, he was right in doing what he did because, you know, I... But forgiveness is may not necessarily have to mean that that act is pardoned. But you forgive nonetheless. Even though not the pardonable thing. But you forgive. Somebody dashed your car. You've seen responses to that in today's modern world? When somebody, you know, a scooter wala, usually this, you know, these two-wheeler wallas, they just go like that and just go between in the gullies. And they scratch a car and they go. I've seen people do that just recently to a friend. He scratched that other person's car. It was near the toll naka. That guy got out of his car, pulled this other guy's door open, grabbed that fellow out, punched him red and blue, threw him back into his car, and just drove off in his own car as if nothing has happened. For what? For having scratched his car. This is the nature of the world. You scratched my car, I scratched your body. With my fist. Right? He would have probably been murdered him, broken his bones. Uncontrolled explosion of anger, revenge. How dare you do this to my car? I don't know what type of car it was. Santro or Rolls Royce, I don't know what it was, but the anger was totally out of proportion. Right? It's totally avaishnava, demoniac response. Given to the lower nature of anger. Completely uncontrolled. And somebody else will say, in a devotee's realm, he said, hotai. Suppose you say the word hotai. What happens? You take it so easy, right? As a hota hai, in Bombay's traffic situation, you're trying to go fast where you have to, you know, the scooter wala wanted to go and meet his girlfriend or his mother was sick in the hospital, whatever was there. And you just nudged your car and went and said, hota hai. Right? Immediately you're cool about it. You don't get angry. So, there is a mantra. You won't go into the details of the art of forgiveness. But we will just spend in the time. We use this sometimes in the marriage seminars, because how many times husband and wife fight? You can ask any grihastha. They fight a lot. They love a lot each other, but also they fight a lot. But as Prabhupada said, they fight on trivial things. Prabhupada said very clearly. The fight of husband and wife is like three things. What is that? One is like two goats fighting. Two goats fighting.
They put their horns and they go intense, punching their horns into the other person's abdomen. And somebody comes, hack, 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 hack! And they just separate out. And then both go their own way. Kuch nahi hua hai. Right? Or Prabhupada says, it's like the thundering in summer. Sometimes there's thundering in the clouds in summer, you know. But you know, nobody takes it seriously because, you know, barish nahi karne wala hai. In monsoon, it starts, you know, thundering, you know, oh, take your umbrella, you know, it's going to rain. But in summer, you know, nothing's going to happen. You don't take thundering seriously. Right? The third example Prabhupada gives is about the lawyers. Right? Two lawyers from opposite parties, one is the prosecutor, other is, you know, on the offender side. They both meet in the court of law and said, my lord! That's it! So each one is fighting against another fellow, you know, defending either his stance and his, you know, what he's supposed to say for his client, right? And they really have a tough fight. No, but sir, you don't understand. What my dear friend has said is this. And with respectfully, he will really defy what he has said. And they really fight. And then they come out, because they're being paid a lot by the client, and they come out and say, chalo yaar chai pite hai ja ke yaar. So they're working for the same court, and they're colleagues for the last 20 years, you know, and they have got different clients, and one is this, one is that. So then they say, chai pi kya hai. There's no real fight there. So Prabhupada taught us that husband and wife should not take their fights seriously. So in one particular seminar, we said that we will teach you a mantra. Mahamantra nahi hai, mantra. Maybe it's a mahamantra for you, you know. If that's something happening very frequently in your life, fighting with your husband and wife, so many things. The Mahamantra for husband-wife fight is two-worded. The magic word is let go. Just let go. And immediately the impact was so powerful. Many people came afterward and said, Prabhu, that's the best thing I learned in my life. You saved my marriage. Because I was taking every fight with my wife so seriously. Now understand, no, I don't have to. I just have to let my fight just let go. And it's so easy. Something happens, life goes on. Don't take those things seriously. Huh? It's another way of saying, you forgive. Let go means like, is another way of saying, you just forgive. As I said before, it's just like the mother who's getting kicked by the child so many times in a day. Just let go. She doesn't take it seriously at all. That is Vaishnava. That's Vaishnava. All our chanting of rounds, all our Ekadashis, all our Vratas, all our Bhishma Panchaks, and all that we are doing, is to develop Vaishnava qualities, Vaishnava virtues, Vaishnava traits, Vaishnava nature. These vratas are important because they help us develop the qualities of our soul. And that is the intent of doing these vratas. And if that should be, all Chaturmasyas and all that we are doing, which our scriptures prescribe, is being done with what purpose? It is not to get the heavenly planets, like the Karma Kandis are being told, getting wealth and prosperities and, you know, name and fame of this world. No. And all our holy dips and the holy rivers, it's not for getting all this stuff. It's for really developing the nature of our soul. Because we can't go to the kingdom of God unless we develop our true godly nature. You just can't enter that place. As you said, Prabhupada said, you cannot barge into the spiritual world. You have to be lifted into that place. You'll be lifted by the grace of God to His lotus feet. We will not be able to enter that place. We'll have to be taken to that place. And we'll only be taken when the Lord sees that we have developed our godly nature. So as we are hearing Indra's story, and we are seeing how the Lord is magnanimously, for so much wrong He has done, so much harm He has done, so much destruction He has done, completely unworthy of the greatest demigod of the heavens, completely unworthy of his nature. And yet the Lord forgave. Lord Ramchandra, how much offenses Ravan had committed. How much? Not only just to Mother Sita, but throughout his life, how many people he had offended. Unlimited offenses he had committed. But Ram said, if he comes to me even today, before he marched to Lanka, when he comes today with folded hands, I will forgive Ravan. Putana had killed so many children. The history tells us that Krishna was not the first child she was trying to kill. She had killed thousands upon thousands of children already before contacting Krishna. And what kind of a lady is this? You know, just barely newborn children who have not even had their first birthdays. She killed thousands upon them. Krishna forgave her and made her her mother. So we can see Krishna's nature. Just forgives. So let us also, like Krishna, forgive. For our own sake. Not for God's sake. For our own sake. Forgive. And that will come when we love. Forgiveness is an offshoot of love. When we love devotees, when we truly love devotees, not just because they are our, you know, they are our project colleagues or whatever, we are living in the same vicinity, because we just love devotees, because they are devotees of Krishna. That's it. When we love devotees, and we govern our responses with devotees because they are devotees, and then they may do so much wrong to us, just like we do wrong to them and others, but we forgive. A Vaishnava community can only exist in harmony when this becomes a very important criteria for mutual coexistence. A community will destroy itself internally if the inmates do not practice this beautiful art of forgiveness. So let us pray, as we're learning Indra's example, that we can also develop this beautiful quality of forgiving, because we have also to be forgiven for so much wrong that we have done. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments? It's rather late, of course. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.